First of all, we're going to have a time of prayer tonight, primarily. And so we've been asked for everybody to please move forward. We don't want to have a shouting match and have it hard to hear. So everybody right now, now's the time. Let's go. Everybody move forward. You know, when we gather on these Friday nights to begin the Harvey Cedars Conference, most of us have come from work or driven down or driven through some kind of traffic jam, all kinds of things happening like that. But it's a wonderful thing to come together and worship the Lord because it refreshes our hearts. Now, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercies endure forever. Now, we sang those songs, bomb, boom, 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 about four or five in a row. And I want to share on some matters for us to pray about tonight as we begin this conference. But before I do, I think we need to spend a couple of minutes and just open the meeting up for us to just express some praise through prayer as we come to the Lord. Now, we sang, glory, glory, hallelujah. The Lord is coming soon. That alone should cause us to pray, huh? So let's have a few moments, please. Brothers and sisters, this is no time to be shy. We're talking about spiritual perfection here. But it is the time to come before the Lord and offer our praises to Him. So before I share any burden at all, let's first just give thanks to the Lord and praise Him for who He is, for His soon coming, all these things we've been singing about. Okay? Let's pray.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
This whole matter of the perfecting work has to do with your coming.
Yes.
Lord, we give you first place now in our meeting tonight as we have sung and worshiped you. And we pray that you'll place living burdens within our hearts that we could release unto you tonight, that we might be gathered for a time of significance here this weekend. Lord, we pray that you would give us attention tonight, that you would overcome our fatigue by the lightness of your Spirit within us, refreshing and quickening us. Lord, give us ears to hear, even tonight, the things that are upon your heart, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'd like us to turn to two passages of Scripture. One, they're both very familiar. One in the Old Testament in Zechariah in chapter 4. A very familiar passage about not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4. We'll just read verses 6 through 10. Again, we're not here tonight to share a message with you, but rather to lay some burdens before us so that we can pray tonight. Usually Friday night is quite a difficult time to share a message anyway. Those who have attempted have died in the process. So we just feel it's better to worship and to pray tonight, and that the Lord would really have His way. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the earth. And then in the New Testament, right at the very end of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just verses 23, 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23, 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, he also will bring it to pass. Now this topic this weekend, spiritual perfection, is a topic that's loaded with dynamite. There are cultic groups that preach on this very message and say that we can attain in this lifetime to freedom from sin and to a state of perfection. And all of that. So, you know, this is really a loaded kind of topic. But for we, more humble Christians who realize we'll never be made perfect in the ultimate sense in this lifetime, we hear this same message, spiritual perfection. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And a topic like that scares us to death. How can we ever come into the reality of this perfection? I remember a professor in seminary going to great lengths to explain to us in class that when Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, he didn't really mean it. In order, and then he gave it that kind of a, sort of a sludgy liberal viewpoint that kind of means, you know, he wants you to sort of think about that and start moving in that direction, but he doesn't really mean it. But we need to believe the Word of God. And this verse, if we take it seriously, this even just this first theme verse, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, it throws us completely on the Lord for the doing of it. There is only one, perfect one, who can do this perfect work. And so I read these two scriptures from the Old Testament and the New Testament because they have this thing in common in regards to the picture of the perfecting work of God, and it's this. Both of these passages declare that what God has started, he will finish. Here in 1 Thessalonians in verse 24, it says, faithful is he who calls you, he also will bring it to pass. What he starts, he will finish. In Zechariah, it also says that Zerubbabel, verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. And we know that Zerubbabel is not only a picture of Christ, but in the very lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about a great matter here. Something that is beyond our control. But it says that God who started will finish it. And yet in both these passages, it gives us to understand that we have to cooperate with this process. We can't just get fatalistic about it or sovereign about it and say, well, let God do it. We'll just go on living our lives. No, there's a cooperation. And that's what I want us to pray about tonight. There's four burdens that I have on my heart from these two passages, is just simply to share as we begin. You see, you guys are sort of like the spies sent into the land. Now there's another group bigger than this that's going to show up after tonight. And you're going to have to give them the report of the grapes in the land. And we have the privilege as the spies who've come early. By the grace of God, you were allowed to come early. And it'd be a good time for us to pray for all the saints. When we're here this weekend, it'd be a very profitable time. Okay. Now, the first prayer burden that I would like us to pray is this. In light of this great subject of spiritual perfection, that we, in light of this great matter, would find ourselves resting by faith in Him. This is the first thing. We need to exercise faith regarding this whole matter. If He started it, He's going to finish it. Now, He said that. Now, at first, we all say, of course, this is true. What He starts, He will finish. But I'm talking about a living faith that will cooperate with God even this weekend in His perfecting process. We, some of us, anyway, I'm sure can identify with Zechariah. Here is when this message was brought to Zechariah by the Spirit of the living God. He was one of that remnant that returned to the land. He was involved in building the house of God, which was God's will. He came there with the others of the remnant. And they gathered together by the grace of God after they'd arrived. They came together in Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. And they came together and they began to build the house. Well, they were scared to death. But they did the best they could and they laid first the altar. They set up the altar and they began to offer sacrifices of praise unto God. That's all the courage they had. They just built that brazen altar. That's all they could do at the time. And for about 6 or 7 months, that's all they did was just worship. Then, they found that space and they stood together and Zerubbabel said, "All right, let's go." And Joshua said, "All right, let's go." And they began to build the foundation of the temple. And within 2 years, this foundation and now the altar was completed. And then, 18 years went by. And Zechariah looked at the situation and it seemed like, you know what, we've been here doing this work that God's told us to do, and now it's 20 years gone by, and we're still basically on the foundation. We've just basically begun. We're nowhere near the completion or the perfection of this work. And this is our experience too. You know, some people have been gathering in various assemblies, seeing the house of God being built, and you feel like after 20 years we're just at the foundation place. With this very little visible work going on, and we begin to say, "Lord, what's going on?" The Lord says, "Be perfect. I'm coming." We say, "Lord, all we see is a foundation and an altar, and there's so much more that needs to be done." And Zechariah, at this point, had to decide whether he believed the Lord could do it or not. How would he or anyone else have possibly believed that that temple would be built in 4 years? After laying there, as it were, in the beginning stage for 20 years, let's just say, in 4 years it was completed. Obviously, there'd been a lot of hidden work going on. But during that time, there's that temptation to say, you know, this just doesn't work. Or what we're doing, gathered together here, some small group. I mean, you can imagine the poor remnant there in Jerusalem, they're looking around them in Samaria and everywhere people are prospering, and here they are sacrificing and going through the tough thing and saying, you know, does it really matter that we're doing this? All these other things are growing like crazy and we're suffering and struggling. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it going to work? Can God do it? And 20 years will cause you to ask those questions. Now the first thing I'd like for us to take seriously is to believe the God who says, "I will do it." You know what Zechariah's word was? That God him started. And it was, in fact, the word of Zechariah and Haggai that got them started, and they built that temple in 4 years. You know what the word was? "I will finish what I started," says the Lord. And they believed it. And the building work started. Well, so here's the first request I'd like us to pray about tonight. that we not be staggered by unbelief, but we believe that God will be faithful. Or let me put it another way. We need to lay hold of the God who has promised and ask Him to be faithful to His word. Now, isn't it funny that He wants us to do that? He will be faithful, and He has promised us. But here's our part. For us to lay hold and say, I believe God. I believe You want to do that. Do you really believe God wants to bring us to spiritual perfection? Or do you not believe that? Do you think that's just like way over the top? Where's your faith here? Now, there's no way any one of us could believe that we could individually reach spiritual perfection unless God said He will do it. Now, that's where we need to stand. We need to stand by faith in God. If something is going to happen here this weekend, we need faith. You know, God was called the God of promise because to the children of Israel, they were waiting for that day when the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh and sons and daughters would prophesy and there would be dreams and visions happening among God's people. And in these last days, the Spirit of God wants to do His work. And we need to believe the God of promise. If there was ever a time that this promise of God's Spirit doing His work is necessary, it's right now in this finishing work. What an amazing thing. Can you imagine as they began to build that temple after 20 years of delay? Of course, the enemy was attacking them on every side. There's plenty of good reasons and excuses. But when they finally believed the Lord, they stopped wasting time and they did what the Lord was telling them to do. And they built that temple in 4 years. They found there were stones that were falling down to the ground, but nevertheless useful, just like some of us. And the Lord began to do that building work as soon as they believed. And so that's the first prayer request. Let's believe God according to His promise. Hold Him to it. Lord, do Your work of spiritual perfection in our lives. That's number one. Number two has to do just with this little phrase in verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. I'd like for us to pray for the atmosphere here this weekend. It's in an atmosphere of peace that God can do His sanctifying, His perfecting work. How we need this atmosphere in our midst here tonight. And that sense of grace that it believes in God and comes to Him and allows Him to do this wonderful work. Peace, that is to say, no condemnation. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now tonight, and for tomorrow's meetings and Sunday's meetings, when people come here, let there be that peace of God reigning over us. That conducive atmosphere in which God can do His perfecting work. And not only that, but the grace. You know, for some people, when they hear the message of spiritual perfection, it would cause us to strive in the flesh to try to be perfected. But that's not the peace in which God can build. We really need His peace. You know, as soon as some people hear that even just the term spiritual perfection, condemnation begins to knock on their door. Now, we need to be under the blood of Jesus Christ and in an atmosphere of His peace. With a real sense of God taking us up. And in other words, what we need to pray, number two, is this. That all weekend we can be under the throne of grace. Knowing His grace and mercy as this word is spoken to us. We want no condemnation coming in, pushing anybody outside where God wants them to be. But we want to be under that throne of grace and mercy. Receiving all that we need and the help we need in this time as His message is going to be shared for us. You notice that when the Zerubbabel set in the top stone, and of course, you know, Zerubbabel, the governor, actually put the top stone in that temple. I mean, it's an actual historical fact. And when he did that, there was such an overwhelming sense of God's grace that they all cheered It wasn't so much a prayer, it was a cheer. It's grace did this. It's grace did that. Well, when we're speaking of this spiritual perfecting, it's grace that does this. And we'll sense it at the end when the top stone goes in, which only the Lord Jesus can put in. But by faith, let's stand in that grace right now as our Lord's doing the work. That's number two. The third burden has to do with the fact that this is such a comprehensive work. This spiritual perfection has many areas to it, and I'm not speaking on the matter. I just want to bring us to prayer regarding this comprehensive thing. Just look at this passage here in 1 Thessalonians. Sanctify you entirely. Is that comprehensive? Sanctify you entirely? Or this, may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete. It's a very comprehensive thing. Now, perhaps we miss a little bit about why it is that Paul invokes the God of peace upon this situation, because we have this definition of peace. It's a little bit narrow in our Western thought. But of course, to the Jew, shalom, this word peace meant something so much more. As a matter of fact, I remember I was taking a Hebrew course at a school, and I asked my professor, I said, well, what does it mean? In modern Hebrew, you still say shalom to one another. When you greet each other, you say shalom. You don't say hi, how are you? You say shalom. I said, so what does that mean for the contemporary secular Jew today when you say shalom? And they said, may God's health and prosperity be upon you. And that's the idea behind the God of peace, the God of wholeness, the God of healing, the God who completely blesses you. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely. Think of that comprehensive work. Now here is the comprehensive work as far as we understand it. It has to do, in part, with integrating our body, soul, and spirit all together. Integration comes from that word integer, which means a whole number. And we come to the Lord as Christians, thank God we're saved, but our soul is a renegade. And our body is out of control. And in the church, especially in the medieval times, they got to the point of even believing, listen, concentrate on spiritual perfection, but your soul will never be any good. They made this terrible mistake, really, of mistaking what Paul calls the great war between the flesh and the spirit as a war between the soul and the spirit. But no, God's intention, think of the comprehensiveness of this, is not only to come into our spirit by the Holy Spirit, thus illuminating our minds to commune with God and sensitizing our conscience and giving us a sense of His will deep in our spirit. But then God means to save our souls, to make our human personality useful to Him, to put it under the command of the Holy Spirit. So we say, yes, Lord, with our will. And our heart runs after the Lord like that deer panting for water. And our mind seeks to know the will of God. Listen, God doesn't throw away our soul. He wants to integrate our soul into our person. And our body as well. To be His servants. Not run away, but His servants. And here's maybe the most wonderful thing about perfection. Christians are the only religious group that actually have a clear understanding of what it means to be spiritually perfect, because all we have to do is look at Jesus. Now, a lot of religions have this notion, and even secular man has this notion. You know, I recently heard somebody talking about, we have no idea what man will eventually become in his full potential when he's using his full mind and he has his full capacity. Oh, it's a whole new age out there. We have no idea what the perfect man is like, you know, and they picture some kind of a Superman, you know, in body. But no, we know exactly what spiritual perfection is. You look at Jesus. Now there you see somebody whose body, soul, and spirit were absolutely one. There was no war between the three functions. His spirit was leading the way, his soul was alive and witnessing and testifying to the life of God, and his body was the servant in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful spiritual perfection we see in Jesus, even in this earthly life. And there we are. We see what spiritual perfection is. Now, so in this great comprehensive work, realizing just these dimensions of how the Lord wants to integrate our body, soul, and spirit, not make us buzz. No. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to think, well, spiritual perfection means I move on with my spirit, even though my soul still hates people, still rebels, and my body's out of control. Well, it'll never be any good, so I'm just going to pursue. Yeah, that doesn't work. Because the Holy Spirit is trying to bring us, He's trying to make us glorified sons. Fully human, but completely enclosed by the Spirit and run by the Spirit and full of the Spirit. Now this is what He's striving for. And so for this reason, the third thing I'd like for us to pray for is that the Lord would really give us the desire to consecrate our bodies and our soul for the Spirit's work. We need consecration. Spiritual perfection will not go to first base unless our bodies are given to the Lord. Unless our souls are given to the Lord. Huh? If you want to leave your mind to yourself, you see, this work is hindered. But the Lord wants us to be molded and perfected, body, soul, and spirit. And so we need consecration. Could we pray tonight and for this weekend that teenagers would find themselves consecrating themselves afresh? That adults as well would consecrate their mind, their soul, their bodies to the Lord, to His service, to His work, to His perfecting? Consecration. The third matter I'd like us to pray about. And then the fourth thing is that this spiritual perfection is a corporate matter, not just an individual matter. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's true this matter of body, soul, and spirit and its keeping and its sanctification is a very personal, individual matter. We cannot have corporate perfection and completing without our individual lives being transformed in this process. But after all, it is a corporate process, as we see so wonderfully in that picture in Zechariah. And there's just one phrase that came up two times in the story of the children of the remnant who came back to Jerusalem. And the phrase is, the people came together as one man. I wonder if we couldn't pray that tonight. That as we come together for these days, we could come together as one man. You know, there's such a difference of atmosphere when the saints come together as one man. It allows the Lord to do so much. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful. We have some people who are going to be here the first time. We have some people who will be here as just brand new Christians. We have some people who are going to come here from just some assembly, and they're pretty much by themselves in their spiritual pursuit. And then we have others who are in an assembly of people. They're almost all going to be here this weekend. How wonderful. We have so many people coming from so many different places. But the Lord can bring us together as one man in order for Him to do His wonderful work. Now this phrase comes up twice in this little recovery story there in the remnant. It comes in Ezra chapter 3, verse 1. When after the remnant came back, and they settled and set up their tents and whatever, they all gathered together in Jerusalem as one man to build the house of God. Oh, what a wonderful moment that was, you know. They came together. There was Zerubbabel, the first king authority that they'd had standing in their country for 70 years. Here was Zerubbabel, their government. Here was Joshua expressing their heart of worship and their desire to serve the Lord. And there's Joshua, there's Zerubbabel, and here they are. They gathered together as one man, remembering God's mercy that He brought them through all of the desert and all of the danger and brought them back to Jerusalem safe. And even with building money and provisions and all God's mercy. As a matter of fact, when they finally just built that altar and then the foundation, what was their first song? The Lord is good. His mercies endure forever. It's wonderful to come together initially as one man, isn't it? Perhaps some have experienced that. When you've come together with brothers and sisters at that beginning work, laying a foundation, building that altar as one man, remembering His mercy. But the work couldn't be completed until they were gathered together once again as one man under the Word of God. Actually, the phrase is in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And it has to do later on, when the temple having been built, they were now building the city. And then even in that perfecting work, here's what happened. After the walls had been erected, the saints came together and said, could we please hear the Word of God? And you remember how Ezra stood up on a big podium with a bunch of translators around him, because the people didn't know Hebrew anymore. They knew Aramaic. And Ezra stood up on there and he began to speak. And it says, when Ezra began to speak the Word of God, they all stood up and listened to him speak. Not only, you see, this is what brought them together as one man, under the living Word of God. And even as they were brought together, as Haggai and Zechariah began to prophesy, they were stirred and they were strengthened by the Word of God, and they completed the work that God had given them to do. Now, the Lord wants us to gather as one man under the Word of God, to really listen and obey the Word of God. It's a very touching scene, isn't it, in Nehemiah? Ezra began to read, and as the translators began to translate what the Word has said, what they hadn't known for years, the people started crying. So much so that Nehemiah had to stop the people and say, stop crying. This is a holy day unto the Lord. Be happy today. You're hearing the Word of God, but all of them were crying. And you know, God's Word of perfection should bring tears to our eyes. He means it when He says, be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. But may we come together as one man, really hear the Word of God this weekend. We need a living Word. It's even something beyond the doing of our brothers. We need that voice speaking out of their speaking that can really touch us and mold us tonight. So this matter of spiritual perfection is a very important thing. I don't know if you have faith to believe this, because I know there's important things going on tonight. There's a playoff game going on. There's a debate. I wonder if you believe it may even be more important what we're doing tonight than we need to pray. Now just review the four things. And then let's pray as the Lord leads. And let's pray as well for people who are traveling, still getting here, some through many complications and all that. Maybe you pray as the Lord leads you, but I just mentioned these four things again. Number one, let's believe God regarding this matter of spiritual perfection. He said He wants to do it. Now we need to stand into that Word and believe Him and ask Him to do according as He promised. Number one. Number two, let's pray that we might be under His throne of grace and mercy throughout the weekend. There'd be that atmosphere of peace, that surrender to God, where He can speak to us and we can yield to Him. No fighting with God. No condemnation. Peace. Grace. Mercy. Let's be overflowing with these things this weekend. Number three, that we may find ourselves consecrating our body, soul, our whole life for God's work to be done in our lives. And number four, that we might come together as one man. Oh, what God can do in a very short time. When people truly come together as one man, not fighting, not with differences, not feeling individual, but just coming together as one man. Oh, how the Lord wants to perfect the work of His church. Even perfect His bride, as He's doing now by the washing of the water of the Word, so that He can come back again. So let's pray these four things. May the Lord lay these burdens upon our hearts and give us a heart to pray. Now at this point, we're just going to pray for the next 15, 20 minutes, however long the Spirit is alive in our prayer. Please don't be shy. Sisters, if you want to pray, feel free to pray. But let's pray in the Spirit tonight. Let's not pray for silly things or unessential things. Let's pray that this matter of spiritual perfection will become our heart's desire as we're gathered together here this weekend. All right? Let's join our hearts together. I'll start out the prayer, and then let's pray as the Spirit leads. Dear Father, we come to you. We are gathered together, but we want to be as one man. Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done in our lives. We have tasted your grace and mercy. And sometimes when we hear your desire for us to be perfect, it staggers us. How could this possibly be? But tonight, along with my brothers and sisters, I want to take hold of this living word and believe that you're not kidding us. That we can put our faith in a God who perfects. And ask you to do a perfecting word in our midst. Oh Lord, when we look around, we don't have to look far to see great imperfection. Especially when we look into ourselves. But Lord, it does not decrease your promises. And because of what the Lord Jesus did on Calvary and in his resurrection and the release of his Spirit into our lives, we believe that you're going to save us, body, soul, and spirit. Oh Lord, bring us to full redemption. Lord, forbid that any of us, that we would just be complacent and satisfied with where we are. When we hear this word that lifts us upward in heavenward, be ye perfect. Oh Lord, make this the desire of our heart, not to settle for anything less than your complete work in us. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'd give us prayer. Give my brothers and sisters the freedom with your very presence throughout this whole weekend. Now Lord, we bring our hearts to you and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.